1450 WHTC. The time now is 8:40. WHTC's morning news continues. Dan Spadafora back with you this morning. Talk of the town at 9:30. Quick update for you this morning. It was about maybe an hour ago that Juke actually called me while I was on the air. Juke Van Oss called me from Holland Hospital this morning. He's doing a lot better, actually. I don't know, Diane, if you knew he was in the hospital.
No, didn't know that.
He had some digestive blockage problems, and he's had these issues a couple of times over the years, and this time wasn't very serious, but it turns out that he'll actually need some minor surgery, as minor as surgery can be, especially for a 90-year-old. But still, Juke was himself when he called and said, "Oh, it turns out I need surgery, Dan, so I guess I'll be out for a few more days." You know, that's just the way he is. So
yeah.
He's doing well, and hopefully just wanted to let everybody know, keep him in your thoughts or your prayers if that's what you'd like to do for Juke. So he's doing better.
Good. He's like a ball. He keeps bouncing back.
He does. I've always compared him to the cliche, but the Energizer Bunny, even at age 90. So I went and saw him the other day, and I joked with him. I said, "Juke, you know, I read a story this morning about a 100-year-old who still delivers paper in Pennsylvania." So you got that guy went up to you. You got to keep going.
Exactly. And I don't doubt that he will.
No, he definitely won't. He'll go as long as he wants, because he said, "You know, I got to get back on the air, Dan. I'm bored laying around in this hospital bed." So
he
that's what he wanted to do. So I'm going to make sure that after the surgery, he at least gets a couple of days to recover. Knowing
he'll
try to come back the day after. So that's the update on Juke. He's feeling much better this morning. But we're speaking with Diane Lowe. We do this every single Wednesday, Random Ramblings. Your phone calls, of course, always open and accepted on WHTC's Morning News. But if you have a question or comment about what we talk about every single week, you can reach us 395-1450. Now, we're going to do something today we haven't done in quite a while, and it's funny because I remember the first time that we did it, something that you like doing, but at the same time you hate doing at the same time.
It's my most favorite thing I hate to do.
And that's the best way to put it.
Exactly. We're going to read our fallen heroes that have died in the service, and we're going from April through the end of July. And we are so blessed that these people do this for us on a daily basis, and I feel like they don't get near what they should for doing it.
Oh, sure.
And I just love them, and we just want to honor them and their families. So we're going to go ahead and start here. In the month of April, we had four, and it is Army Specialist Christian J. Chandler from Texas, Army Sergeant Sean M. Farrell II from New York, Army Specialist Carrie M. G. Danluck from Texas, and Army Captain James E. Chafin III from South Carolina. All four died in Afghanistan. And in May, we had five, Army Private First Class Jacob H. Weikstra from Colorado, Army Specialist Adrian M. Perkins from California. Everybody has died in Afghanistan except for about three of them on this list. And this one here, Adrian Perkins, died in Jordan. Army Commander Sergeant Major Martin R. Barrios from Arizona, Army Chief Warrant Officer 2 Derek W. Rasmussen in California, Army Specialist Daniela Rojas from California, died in Germany from combat illness. In June, we had 13. Marine Sergeant Thomas Z. Spitzer from Texas, Marine Lance Corporal Brandon J. Garibrandt from New Hampshire, Marine Staff Sergeant David H. Stewart from Virginia, Marine Lance Corporal Adam F. Wolf from Iowa, Navy Boatswain's Mate Seaman Yeshal Ville Caruso from Ohio, and she died on a ship in the Red Sea. Army Corporal Justin R. Klaus from Washington, Army Specialist Justin R. Helton from Ohio, Army Specialist Terry J. Hume from California, Army Staff Sergeant Jason A. McDonald from Georgia, Army Staff Sergeant Scott R. Studenmund from California, Army Private Aaron S. Toppin from Illinois, Army Private First Class Matthew H. Walker from Missouri, Army Captain Jason B. Jones from Pennsylvania. And in the month of July, we had three, and it was Army Private First Class Donnell A. Hamilton Jr. from Wisconsin, Army Staff Sergeant Benjamin G. Prange from Nebraska, and Army Private First Class, I think it is, Keith M. Williams from California. And all of these, like I said, passed in Afghanistan except for the three. I went back and looked and compared to the time frame from 2014 up to this date in 2013, we had 98 deaths last year, and this year it was down to 43. So it's great that there's less, but there's 43 too many.
Right, yeah, and I think that's the way you put it. You say, well, that's better, but it's still not good.
Right,
you know, not
exactly, exactly. I would encourage everybody to go to this site. It's called militarytimes.com, and then I think it's /valor. And what it does is it has all of the years, and this is covering Enduring Freedom, Iraqi Freedom, and New Dawn. And it has all of the years. The years are broken down in months. And when you click on that month, you have like a little snapshot of the person, and then you can click on that person, and it gives more details about where they were from, what they did, and what happened. And I would encourage everybody to go on there and look at these people. These are sons, fathers, daughters, mothers, husbands, and they are just precious, precious people. They're not numbers. We have to realize that, you know, you hear about these people who die or are killed or something like that, but we stand free here because of them. Mm-hmm. And I think it kind of brought it home. This week we were heading up north and I met two World War II veterans in a parking lot.
Yeah.
And that was really cool to meet them.
Sure.
And then my son and I happened to be in the car with him yesterday and running through McDonald's, and the guy behind us was a World War II veteran because he had this cap on, and I knew it. I could see it was the same one that we saw.
Yeah.
So I paid for his meal, and then when he found out that I did that, he honked his horn and waved, and it was really, really cool.
Yeah.
And a friend of mine said that we have about 100 World War II veterans dying every day.
It's amazing. That was actually what I was going to say. It's amazing how quickly we're losing all of our World War II veterans. There are not very many left. My grandfather was a World War II vet, and he died a couple of you know
what I mean?
So they're not very many left of them.
No, they're not. You know, and these people will never be a veteran.
Sure.
They're gone.
Yeah.
You know. So go to the site, and, you know, it's hard. I mean, there are times when I'm sitting here writing these things down and stuff, and I just have a really, really hard time. I'm in tears over it because they look so young, you mm-hmm. know, and some of them are smiling, and, you know, their whole life is ahead of them, and now they're not here, but right. we are. And right. I just feel like we need to spend more time honoring those that's passed and honoring those who are coming back and honoring those that are there. You know, you may not agree with what we're doing, and I don't know that everybody does, but we should agree that these people are valuable and should be honored.
Certainly. We got a call on the line this morning. Good morning. What's your name? Where are you from?
Carol. I'm from Hamilton.
Go ahead, Carol.
We should be voting for presidents and House of Representatives, senators who are against having soldiers go to Afghanistan and Iraq and all over the world. I mean, look at all the veterans also who commit suicide after they come back.
No, it's a good comment. I think it's tough to send anybody anywhere, and I'm glad I don't have to make those decisions.
No, I would not want to be sitting in the chair that made those decisions, and I understand what she's saying, but I also understand the value of what we are doing.
Sure.
It's a mixed bag. You know, I've had a friend who's been over there, and on one hand, you think you want them to stop because of what's going on. On the other hand, you want to try to secure the loss that's already been taking place.
Right.
So many people have lost their lives over there. And if we bail, was it all for naught? I don't know. It's one of those issues that's very hard to to figure out. I like you said, I would not want to be the person who decides that.
No, it would be even more difficult, especially if I had a brother or if
exactly.
I have a kid who's going to serve. You know, that makes it even more of a situation that just becomes messy. But like you said, most importantly is to honor those who do decide to serve, and especially those who fall. And it's something mm-hmm. that, like you say, it's needs to be done, but you hate doing it.
So. Right. And we should take better care of them. We actually had two vets that work for us right now. We have one veteran now on the farm, but I was telling my son, if I had time to volunteer, one of the first places I would go would be to the veterans home. You know, it's just, I don't feel like we take care of our guys. And like she said, the rate of suicide is horrendous with these.
It is.
And the fact that they have this postpartum stuff and they can't talk about it for fear of losing their job and mm-hmm. the stigma that's behind it and so on and so forth. And it's a shame that we use and abuse and then don't take care of them.
Yeah. And it's sad to think that probably in a couple of months we'll have to have the same conversation, but I hope that we don't.
I know. I'm so grateful that I could wait this long to accumulate enough. And like you laugh. Yeah. I don't want to, it would be wonderful if I never had to do it again. Yeah.
Diane Lowe, thank you. I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.